scripture today is from Mark 9, 33 through 37, and chapters 10, verses 13 through 16. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
Our song of reflection is Strong, Gentle Children. It's written by a Bay Area pastor and hymn writer, Dan Damon, who's written many hymns. Strong, Gentle Children. I invite you to stand as you're moved.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful.
A bit of context. When the Harry Potter books came out, movies came out, I wanted to see the movies, but I felt like I didn't really want to see the movies until I'd read the books. And so it took me a long time, and I finally finished reading all the books last year sometime, I guess. And now I'm watching the movies, so I'm four or five movies in. I watched one last night. You'll get that when we have this little introductory prayer. So pray with me. Lord, give me the confidence of a child who wears a Harry Potter costume to a Baptist fall festival. Amen. Babies are beautiful. Little ones are precious. Children are amazing. Can I get an amen? I know there are exceptions, but I bet if I asked most of you, you would tell me just how wonderful your kids or your grandkids or your nieces or your nephews or your godchildren are to you. A while back, my dear friends Davi and Rachel Weasley welcomed their first child. Now, if you were privileged to be admitted to Little Zeke's Facebook page, yes, at birth he had his own Facebook page, you would be convinced that he was the finest thing to happen in this world since the beginning of time. And I won't fault his folks for feeling that way. He's pretty darn cute. I bet some of you can remember with wonder and joy your own children or childhood. Recently, my sister was here, and I think I mentioned this, that we made a pilgrimage to Chula Vista where we lived as children and found the house we lived in and the school, elementary school we went to when we were children, remembering our childhood. Babies are beautiful. Little ones are precious. Children are amazing, especially if they are in some way yours. Parents, siblings, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, godparents, congregation. The anecdote, when I was leaving on Friday, I just happened to run into Mighty Caracas, who came running up to me and gave me the biggest hug and said, "Pastor Rick, Pastor Rick." And she also hugged me goodbye and went to tell her little friends, "This is our new pastor. This is Pastor Rick." But we also know firsthand that it's not always wonderful. The euphoria of the first days settles into the challenging reality of the demands that little children make on time and energy and patience as they move. Some of you are parents can testify to that, huh? As they move, sometimes slowly, sometimes swiftly, towards maturity. Some kids sail through, and others have a troubled passage. Some make it in grand style, and some don't get there at all. Sometimes I can belt out, "Jesus loves me, this I know," and sometimes I find myself moaning. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. The Gospel of Mark has these two brief passages that deal with Jesus' attitude toward children. They occur very close together in the Gospel. One in the 9th chapter and the other in the 10th, as Heather told us. Taken literally, they are lovely affirmations of children and of childhood. Read in context, we may find them more challenging than they seem on the surface and in the ways in which we have tended to use them. See, in chapter 9, the text records that he took a little child and put it among them, the disciples, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." In the other text, he tells the disciples, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that God's beloved community belongs. Truly," he says, "I tell you, whoever does not receive God's beloved community as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. How could one deny the tenderness in these moments? Mark says Jesus literally holds these children in his arms, loving them and blessing them. Isn't it just like Jesus to look at the little ones and see not only their beauty, but all their possibilities? But here's the catch. In both scenes, he has to use the children to teach his disciples something important about God's beloved community. Something they may have forgotten, something clearly they are having trouble seeing. In the first instance, the passage begins this way. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" Can't you hear it? They're walking along the road, and there's this back and forth, some kind of tension in the air as they walk along the dusty trail. They were silent. Can you imagine they were embarrassed a little bit? For on the way, they had been arguing with one another about who was the greatest. Oh, my. that old demon, the overinflated ego. Would they ever get the point of what he was trying to teach them? So he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And then he took a little child and put it among them. Now, we all know that children can be completely self-centered and self-absorbed. They may have fantastic dreams and great ambition to be an astronaut or an Olympic athlete or a movie queen or a firefighter, or hopefully some kids still might want to be president. For the most part, that's age-appropriate fantasy out of which one builds a life. Without dreams, people perish. But the disciples are a little old to lose track of reality completely. Besides which, Jesus has been trying desperately to show them a different way, a better way of being, all along their way. They just don't seem to get it. In fact, in Mark's gospel, the disciples are notoriously slow to catch on. It's only a little while later that we find them in trouble again. People were bringing the little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. Where were they a few miles ago when Jesus raised up the little children? Over their heads, in some sense. Hadn't they just seen with their own eyes and heard with their own ears Jesus' love and concern for children? Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me not only welcomes me, but the one who sent me. Could he make it any clearer? So, not surprisingly, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Now, it's true that in this time and place, children were not particularly valued by the culture. Donald Jewell writes of this passage, "Children were regarded largely as property, without rights. They could be sold by their parents. Laws preventing their exploitation were few, if any." In spite of what Jesus has said to them, Jewell continues, in this brief pronouncement story, the disciples mirror the attitude of society, keeping children at arm's length, showing how little value they put on the children. Likely the disciples thought that Jesus and his work were much too important to waste on children. This attitude is sometimes not so far removed from their own sense of importance. Theirs was a case of pride by association. Jesus is a very important person, and because we are his chief followers and traveling companions, it stands to reason that some of his importance must have rubbed off on us, right? "Not so," says Jesus, his eyes flashing. "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that God's community belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive God's beloved community as a little child will never enter it." It must have felt to the disciples like a slap into consciousness. Oh, yeah, that's what he said yesterday, isn't it? Wow. He must have meant it. And just to underscore his point, Jesus took those children up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, I know I'm being repetitive with these verses this morning, but isn't that one way we children learn? By repetition. Can I get an amen, Carrie? I see a teacher back there. Yeah, by repetition. You see, it isn't just because they're children that Jesus loves them, heals them, blesses them. It isn't because it's just the young who will make up God's beloved community, leaving the rest of us on the outside. Jesus' concern here is for those who are vulnerable and in need of the physician. Remember who ends up at that great banquet, that great feast that Matthew talks about, when all the respectable and invited guests all made excuses. Oh, I'm too busy. I've married a wife. I bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Hold me excused. I cannot come. Remember how the owner of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. Or remember the sheep and the goats? Truly, I tell you, as you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Is that all at all familiar? Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive God's beloved community as a little child will never enter it. There are some high expectations for entry into God's beloved community. Ironically, it depends on having friends in low places. In his commentary, Theodore Jennings writes of this passage, Jesus identifies himself with these vulnerable and helpless ones. Those who reject these also reject him, even if they do so in the name of protecting or honoring him. The reign of God, he argues, pertains precisely to those who are defenseless and vulnerable. What is at stake has nothing to do with the imaginary innocence of children. It has to do with the objective condition of weakness and vulnerability. But here's the good news. He writes, it is those who share this condition that reign, that the reign, it is to those who share this condition that the reign of justice and generosity and joy belongs. These are the ones who are welcomed into God's beloved community. With a little humility and openness, the reign of justice and generosity and joy may also be ours. If we're willing to sit down at the table with siblings of every sort, we will share fully in the great feast. When we situate ourselves on the side of the weak and the vulnerable, the least of these, we find ourselves dwelling in God's beloved community. Alan Culpepper reminds us that Jesus says God's beloved community belongs to just such as these. And then he declares that the irony is that those who think they deserve it and control it cannot get in, while those who, like children, stand in wonder at it, actually own it. Like a child. It's the only way in. If we want to go there, we may have some serious unloading to do, some letting go of what we thought was important and may indeed not be. We may have to be willing to re-engage wonder and amazement and joy and vulnerability and everything else that keeps us from remembering what it was like to be a child and to understand what it means for us, whatever our age or our education or our status, to be a child of God, to let God in Christ hold us in the everlasting arms, loving us and healing us and blessing us right along with all of God's children of every age and color and race and gender and orientation and status and means and ability. Well, let me close with some wise words of longing to be less, to be more like a child. It's reported that shortly before his death, the great Spanish Basque philosopher and author Miguel de Unamuno penned these poignant words. Enlarge the door, Father, because I cannot pass. You made it for children, and I have grown too heavy. If you do not enlarge the door for me, make me smaller for pity's sake. Return me to the blessed age when to live is to dream. May it be so for you and me and all the world. Amen.